Hello, someone on the air here?
Yes.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Okay. Just hold on one second here while we get started, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
Let me, I got to, I got five things going here at once. We're just starting the tape up.
Okay.
Hold on, there we go. Now we're going to get, we're going to start out with what's going on here, okay?
Okay.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me, sister, with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see. Sister, oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Right on, baby. Right on.
Judge us simply 'cause our hair is long. Can't see what's going on.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Tell me what's going on.
What's
I'll tell you what's going on.
What's going on?
Ooh.
Right, right on. Right on.
Hey, hello, everybody. He was just listening to Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. I love that track. It's indicative of a lot of things. And we're going to open that up this morning. And now we're going to be talking about indications. Got Brother Salim on the line. Are you there, Salim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, okay. How you doing, brother, this morning?
You know, the Marvin Gaye song was about, even though it was about the Vietnam War, it was about all about the drugs and stuff that was
all the struggle,
know,
all the struggle
neighborhood as well, you know.
All the struggle, all the struggle. So how are things in your neck of the woods this morning, Salim?
Man, I'm down in Austell, Georgia.
Okay, okay. And how's the weather? How's the weather down there for you?
Had a bad storm come through about 11 o'clock last night, So everything right now is pretty good right about now.
Well, that's so good to hear. This morning, Salim, I'm glad you called in, and I appreciate you on Tuesday mornings like this. The subject matter is going to be indications today. And I just want to open up with a couple of quotes before we get started. Quote, a man can serve himself or a man can serve humanity. And here on Recovery Radio, we want to create more opportunities for better opportunities, for better housing, better jobs and training. And as a peer recovery coach, I'm familiar with many of the experiences that are associated with chronic relapse. You know, we're talking about indications this morning, Salim, and some of the indications, what would indicate that a person is actively using. And so we're going to open up some of those subjects. Give me your take on that. What was an indication for you, Salim? If you take a moment and disqualify yourself, and what I mean by that is what gives you voice to the culture of active addiction? What was an indicator when you were using? Go ahead, Celine. Well, over to you.
Well, let me just say right now, I don't like the. I'll use it for the audience, but I'm going to say that I have recovered from drugs since 1975. And never stepped back into that through that particular door to live my life out with that, and I'll go with that as far as right now, and how I'm keeping myself drug free is doing something for myself by trying to be a better person, and to matter of fact, man, I'm here trying to buy a home in Georgia.
And how's that working out for you?
I'm going to take a picture of the empty lot, and I'm going to send it to you that the house hasn't been built yet, but in 120 days, it will be built.
Okay. All right. Congratulations, Celine. So let's, we want to cover a lot of territory this morning. We're talking about indications. And I looked it up this morning in Webster, and it says that indications is a sign or piece of information that indicates something. And what I want to talk to you about, Salim, what was one of the indicators? How could we tell that you were actively using when you were using? Some of the indicators
well,
for you.
The first sign that you can tell that, well, remember now, we have to always remember, see, the indicator here wouldn't be a sign for, it'd be a sign for those who knew about drugs. But for those who did not know about drugs, there was no indication at all until we became known as the junkies of the neighborhood. But once we became known as the junkies of the neighborhood and the people realized what drugs was in the neighborhood, when they used to see us nod, you know, like go down like we was about to touch the ground.
Slipping into darkness, huh?
Yeah.
Slipping in the darkness.
Walking down the street, scratching your face and, you know, leaning up against houses and, you know, squatting all down like you, you know, like you about to fall. See, those were the indicators for those people to know that we were the drug users.
Yeah. So let's skip it back a little bit, because when it first started, in my mind is, people saw us nodding and in the early stages, and a lot of people didn't know what was going on. But now let's fast forward to 2018. Okay, and what does the life of a heroin addict look like? Some of the indicators, like the signs of being high, off of heroin is what? You had flushed skin? Did you ever have your skin be flushed, if you know what that means? What does that mean to you, Celine, if your skin is flushed?
No. I don't remember that.
Okay, what about your small pupils? Oh, I know one you remember, watery eyes. That's an indication, right?
Now, see, the watery eyes came from when you start getting sick for not having.
You got the experience, but I'm gonna put together the phraseology that they're using in the in the SAMHSA community. That's substance abuse and mental health and human something, something other.
Okay.
So they're using the phraseology. And so the reason that I said, let's back it up to when you and I first started getting high back in the early 60s from heroin and all of the indicators. They're the same indicators, but they really didn't have that name. The name for something wasn't matched up to the behavior. So it wasn't out in the community where, oh, look at him, his skin is flushed. I know he's using heroin. Or look at him, he has small pupils. I know he's using heroin. Or watery eyes. What about the runny nose? When did you get that? That's an indicator, right?
Yeah, but see, like you're saying, how they using it today, runny nose was meaning that, man, we needed a fix.
Well, it still means the same thing, don't you think? Now, yeah. you and I, you know, Salim, I'm going to tell you, some of the indicators and the language and the phraseology is basically different, but it's still the same misery and the same indicators going on. And I'm going to bring that point up at a meeting that I had.
And you know, sniffing was one of the worst ones, man.
The sniffing,
you know, like
yeah. No, or grunting. Can you make that grunt sound for me? I'm not gonna do it. It's too embarrassing. You ever heard the grunt? you know, I said, man, why don't he stop grunt? It sounds like you sucking snot back up into your mucous membrane when you grunt. Is that true?
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's one of the things. So these are some of the indicators. Indications, a sign or piece of information that indicates something. There's an indicator. And so I want to target this show or this segment around indicators for those who are suffering with someone who is addicted to heroin and other substances. There are some indicators that you can look for. And if you don't know what to look for, then you're back in the 60s when Salim and I first started using heroin. You know, there were indicators there, but people just didn't know what was going on. You know, we could tell them, like, oh, I got a cold. Is that one of the things that you used to, well, we didn't have to answer to anybody. I guess we were just running wild.
No, like you're saying today, the indicators are the same, but see, when we started, there was no one to know what an indicator was. Only us, as the one who was using the drugs, knew what the indicator. In other words, if I saw you coming down the street and the way you was walking, I said, man, my man need to get high.
Yeah, you need to get high. Yeah.
I could tell by the way you walk.
Yeah.
Then when you walk up, the way you grabbed my hand or shook my hand, mm-hmm. or whatever, I knew you needed to get high. So I would say, come on, let's go down to the basement and get high.
Yeah. So you coming from a place that's really a different time in our past.
Yeah,
and you can link it up.
You had a guy on one time before, and he was saying how his son had passed away.
Yeah.
And I didn't use the term indicator, but I used to him. I said he had to show you some kind of signs that something was wrong, and you overlooked them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because they were there.
Yeah. So can you talk a bit about what are the psychological and physical signs of heroin addiction? When heroin use becomes a priority, did it become a priority in your life, Celine, at some point? I mean, if you could just look at hindsight.
It became the number one priority. The number one priority, man, was to get high.
Mm-hmm.
And either we had test at that time it was the Hudson tube or jump in somebody's car and cross the George Washington, come down the Hudson, or go across the go through the Harlem or the Lincoln Tunnel and go up. But it was always better to go across the George Washington and come down to 125th Street than to go all the way through the Lincoln Tunnels and come up.
So back in the 60s, 70s, and even up into the 80s, one of the indicators for a person living in or near New York City was constant trips across the bridge to purchase heroin. I mean, we could get it in Newark, but why would you travel from Newark, New Jersey to Manhattan, New York to buy drugs?
But 18, remember we was using what they call quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know what how much a quarter is today, or whether or not they use that. But you know, we used to go over there and get that blue magic and all of that stuff, and the red tape and whatever they had out.
Blue magic, red tape.
By going over there, the drugs was cheaper.
Buying it by the quarter.
If you bought it in New York off the drug dealer off the street, but if you bought it from a house out in Newark, they're gonna sell you bags.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let me share something with you. I want to read something, and I want you to elaborate on it if you can. Physical and psychological signs of heroin addiction. When heroin use becomes a priority, a person's entire universe shifts to revolve around this drug. For this reason, there are bound to be observable changes. Now, we're talking about indicators in a person's life. Indicators for those who do not know, those who are dealing with a loved one or a family or neighbors, or anybody who seems to be caught up in the throes of addiction. These are some of the physical and psychological indicators. It says that their whole life revolves around, and there are indicators where people really, really change. And so you're going to have some observable changes. I cannot stress that enough. Observable changes in a person's life. Often, despite the many problems heroin use causes, a person who is in the grip of addiction, will continue to prioritize the drugs over important obligations. Some of the important obligations is taking care of your physical health, taking care of your children, and there are indications like the presence of drug paraphernalia, the use of street slang related to heroin. What is some of the street slang that you remember, Salim, and back in the days when you were actively addicted?
You know what, though, man? I really can't remember some of that.
That's all right. That's all right, brother. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, because there's a lot of us who are not able to say they can't remember. And usually not being able to remember is associated with age. And we're talking. And I know a lot of our listeners can relate to that, because I'm dealing with a population that's mostly middle-age and elderly people, men and women who are addicted to heroin. Okay, let me give you some of the street slang. A chippy. What's a chippy? You remember that one? Oh, he got a chippy. So that was like the person that would say, "Oh, I only sniff. I don't shoot."
We didn't never use chippy. You know, we used the monkey on the back.
but I remember saying, "Man, I got a chippy." That means that you ain't strung out all the way yet, but you've been using drugs 2 or 3 days now, and it's only
the monkey on your back means that you really got it bad.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and this might be a personal one. This might be a personal one because it's identification. I'm going to call it indicators, and this is my identification. Track marks on the body. Talk to us about that. Are you still carrying some of those?
You know what? My track marks has never left, but what has happened, man, it has blended into my skin, but you can still see the track mark on both arms. But
yeah,
it's not as visible as it used to be. But they are still there.
Yeah, is there any shame associated when you see those and you know what they are? How does that make you feel? Because I have them, and I'm going to tell you about my experiences.
At first I used to be ashamed of them when I used to go to try to have blood and stuff like that drawn. Now I still don't allow them to draw blood out of those veins. Today I either let them take blood, because my veins are so big, I let them take the blood out of my hand. I don't like for them to go into my armpit or to stick me with needles in those areas.
Your armpit? They're shooting in your armpit, brother? Come on, let's back up a minute, because you're scaring people.
Armpit to draw blood when you go to the hospital.
You go to your armpit? That's a hard one. You mean? Okay, we gonna.
Right there where your arm bend. They go in there to draw blood out of there.
Not your pit. That's your armpit is underneath your arm, isn't it?
No, that's under the arm. The armpit is where the elbow, what you call the elbow and the arm coming together.
Oh, that is the pit. Well, lesson.
That's
okay.
Armpit.
I'm gonna have to fact check you on that one.
Ask somebody audience. They may be maybe I'm wrong, but I call it the armpit. Right there with the arm and the elbow.
Let's move to the next one. Let's do, because I got my track marks are kind of my identification, because there's a lot of people who are professing to have experience with drug addiction and recovery, and there's no identification to make me, because one of the things that I find in the recovery community is trust. You have to be able to have the trust of the experience of understanding. It can't be lip service in a lot of instances. In some instances, it's okay. It's you know, it has a place, but you have to be able to identify with a lot of people before they will even talk to you. The next one I wanted to talk about is legal troubles. We're talking about indicators now, indicators of substance use disorder. Legal troubles. Did you have any while you were actively using, Celine?
Yeah, I stayed in jail a lot.
So you would go to jail, and then you come out of jail, and you go back to jail.
I go to jail and come back out of jail, use them drugs, and keep using them, and go back, clean up, come back, clean up.
So there was no. So after rehab, then what? What do you think about that? If we had that around back in those days, do you believe that it would have made a difference?
I don't know.
After rehab, then what?
I don't know, because what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I done seen him go to rehab and come right back out of rehab and go and use drugs back to using drugs. So I do know that rehab helps some people,
mm-hmm.
but I know rehab, I know that it's on the person who goes to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with me, I don't think that rehab would have helped me.
Okay.
When I fell in love with that heroin man, I fell in love with the number one lover of my life at that time, and was mm-hmm. nothing else I seen that was taking his place until mm-hmm. I got that long bid in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can say. I don't see myself being in recovery and coming out, because I wasn't the kind of person that go in and talk about no problems. My problem was my own problem. I wasn't sharing nothing with anybody.
Wow. You know,
one thing I wanted to share was some drugs. If we were going to New York to get some drugs, then we own. If we wasn't doing that, then it's not too much we can talk about.
Yeah, you know, I would love for you to meet my brother. I got another brother besides Jerry. His name is Anthony Clark. He's a bishop in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's a bishop in the church. And he just sent me something on Facebook. It says, "Hey, big brother." And see, I didn't meet my brother, Anthony, and we look just alike, Salim. You got to meet him. I didn't meet my brother, Anthony, until maybe 5 years ago. And I'm in my 60s and he's in his 50s. And he said, "Hey, big brother, I used one time in my life, didn't like the result." And so that was, I don't know when that was, but I'm going to get him to come on one day and talk to me about that, because I did not know. But love you, Anthony. And here's one, legal trouble. So let's go to another one. And this one, I love this one. These are indicators now. We're talking about indicators. Those of us who are paying attention to the opioid epidemic, this epic epidemic, as a friend of mine would say, lying and secretiveness. Well, come on now. Number 45 is our president, because we talk about indicators now that people are substance use disorder, lying and secretiveness. Well, that we can put that to in a lot of places when you do the research, lying and secretiveness. You want to talk about that?
You know what?
The president does that a lot, doesn't he? Huh?
I'm at a friend of mine's house.
Okay.
He asked me, now my wife, she do use, you know, drugs for pain for her abdominal area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I came down here, I had packed my wife pills and put them in pills, and I labeled the bag N and B. N for night.
N for
and
night.
B for death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of good friends.
I had about 20 bags of pills. Now, me and my wife went to the store, and we came back, and then we left and went to North Carolina.
Okay.
Now, when I came to North Carolina,
okay,
I got 10 bags of each in my wife's pills. Now, I'm short 20 pills for her before
and so
she goes back to the doctor.
So
I haven't confronted this brother yet.
Oh, so somebody's stealing pills in the house.
I believe somebody did take the pills.
Okay, so lying and secretiveness.
I can't point my finger and say you did it or she did it or whatever. But I'm missing pills from my wife.
Missing pills
enough,
from, yeah, yeah.
She get enough to carry her from month to month. You go back to the pain management.
Yeah. So let me interrupt you right there. Let me interrupt you right there just for a minute, good brother. What we're talking about this morning is indicators. What is an indication that those of you who are living with a loved one who is actively addicted, or you think they might be actively addicted, you just can't figure it out? There's some indicators, and that's the topic of the show this morning. Indicators, you know, and I believe one of the indicators that we need to pay close attention to is the lack of accountability within the recovery community, within the active addicted community, and within the resources community, within the community of those who are the policy makers. These are indicators of some of the abject poverty. These are indicators of something that's wrong, something that has gone awry. And so we have to pay very close attention, you know. And I would invite everybody, we have these local elections coming up all across the country. Get out and vote. You know, get out and vote. Get into the, find out what your judicial system is doing. Who should be in office, you know? And I'm going to do a shameless plug. Vote Kimberly Crockett for district judge. So you got to get out and vote. You know, there's a gentleman, his name is Mr. Hammer. Get out and vote. Put people in office. See, because there are indicators that not only indicate to us that a person is actively addicted, there are also indicators of those who are profiteering, those who don't have the identification that's needed to even properly address the issue of opioid addiction. So we're talking about indicators, and I want to share with you, Salim, a little bit. There are numerous ways that people who abuse heroin will change their behavior. Mood changes include erratic and or aggressive behavior. Were you aggressive, Celine? Well, I can answer that because I know you, but I'm gonna go ahead and let you say it. Did you ever get aggressive when you were addicted?
Yeah, I told you, man. I've been arrested. I'm gonna say like this here. I've been arrested so many times that I cannot count how many times I've been arrested. But I can say, as far as spending time in jail, that with a combined effort, it amounts to 8 years.
Okay, I got it.
Now you can get arrested.
You can get arrested.
But they're gonna let you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're gonna let you go.
Depending on what they find or whether or not can they take you to trial or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to arrest us for just loitering on the street. see that.
For just
time.
Right. Yeah. So we need to get out and vote. We need to get into the judicial system. We need to become recovery-ready communities, and we need to become informed. And so that is the reason here on Recovery Radio that I talk about these issues, because there are some people in 2018 who are still living behind the veil. They're living in the dark. They've got blinders on, or they're apathetic, or they believe that that's not happening to me. It's up the street. You know, that's their business. We bunker in. We've taken, you know, we have so much space now that we have so many opportunities to disconnect from society. So, you know, that's a big issue. Those are indicators that we're going down the wrong path. But guess what? We can turn it around. There's a pathway to recovery, whichever, and I think it should be personalized. I know you personalized your recovery, Salim. How did you do that?
Well, I personalized mine when I went to jail from
when you went to jail.
I was selling drugs over at a high school.
Yeah.
But all I was doing was living across the street.
From my old alma mater, West Side. Yeah, you was living across the street from my old alma mater. Yeah. Westside High School.
I woke up that morning. My landlord knocked on my door and asked me she needed to see me, but she was setting me up and mm-hmm. I didn't know it.
Right.
And so when I opened the door, the police bum rushed me, and I had 5 bags of heroin in my hand, and I was trying to get that drug in my mouth because I knew once I get it in my mouth.
Yeah, you was trying to swallow the drugs before they arrest you, huh?
But okay. They was able to get the handcuffs on me and squeeze them down real tight, and my hand popped open. They took the drugs. Mm-hmm. Now, they gave me 5 years in prison for that, and they lied. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I done did the time. I ain't got to lie. I never sold drugs. I used drugs.
Yes, you use a user, but you got time as a distributor.
I got time as a distributor of heroin and armed robbing.
Yeah.
Never robbed a person, never used, or never did that. Have I sold drugs? Yes, I did. But did I sell them at a high school? No, I didn't.
Okay.
Have I sold them to a high school kid? Yes, because at the time, those were some of the drug users, mm-hmm. but it wasn't at the school. They were able to come to our neighborhood. You know, because you remember, we used mm-hmm. to be all on Harlem and Jacob Street selling drugs all over in these areas.
I want to stop you right there. I want to say we're getting back to the voting thing, the indicators. Vote for Cynthia Tootle for delegate to 62nd district. We're going to get it in. And my sincerest apologies if I missed anybody. And, you know, I'm a strong advocate of, you know, wanting the right person for the job. And I believe Cynthia Tootle would be the right person for the job. As actually, District 62 is my district. So I need to really be paying close attention to that. I want to share something else to you, Salim. There are numerous ways that people abuse heroin. And mood changes include aggression, depression, withdrawal from friends and social events. New friends emerge. Uh-oh, watch out now. We got that new person coming over to the house. Person that's always looking around, running into your bathroom, taking more time than normally. You know, pay attention to these things because they're indicators that's happening right under your nose. I got a mother and a son right now who are neighbors of mine, and they're going through a thing, and that's because she's not informed. I mean, he talks to her in a way that has her believing that he is the best thing since sliced bread, and he is her son, and no matter what he does, that she's supposed to believe it. And so that's one of the indicators. I mean, people are secretive and lying. But new friends emerge. Let's look at that. Nickname. There are numerous nicknames for heroin, including junk, smack, dope, H, black tar, and white powder. The use of heroin is sometimes referred to as skin popping. What's that term about, Celine?
Skin popping? I thought the skin popping during our time is that those who did not use the main line, the vein, they would skin pop like on the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
On their shoulder, you scrape, like you're taking the needle in the muscle.
Yeah.
We call that skin popping on that level. Now, I don't know what they call skin popping today.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Nothing has changed about that. What about speedballing? That's an indicator. What is that?
Speedballing is that when you take and mix, I think it was when you mix heroin and cocaine together.
Yeah, bro. I'm so glad that you've forgotten a lot in it. And, you know, just to show you how ironic that is, when we were in our group, when we were actively addicted, on the streets of Newark, New Jersey, Salim was one of the leaders. And for you to forget so many of the terms that we used back then, it's really refreshing to me. You know, it just indicates to me that recovery is absolutely possible. You can switch your whole frame of thinking around. I mean, some of the things that were traumatic in our lives can actually be forgotten. And one of the things that I haven't forgotten is very relevant in my life, and I see them every day, is the track marks. They're so embedded in my skin. But, you know, I look at everything in a different way now, and I look at that as something positive now, is because, you know, when I say something, because the community is dying from heroin addiction and heroin overdose, not only are the users dying, but their families are being so severely impacted that they're slowly dying as well. And so there are
Let me just put this in there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Donald Trump said last night that the dealers should be executed.
Yeah, they should be the death penalty.
Listen, before the drugs even get to the dealer, the drugs coming into this country, it has to start way up at the top. If it comes down, you go to the people where the drugs are coming into the country at, talk about killing them.
Mm-hmm.
It would never get to your neighborhood if you stop. If you start at the top of the drug, where the drugs come to this country, start with the people who bring the drugs to the country, mm-hmm. not the person who bring it to the neighborhood, because you're never going to get drugs out of your neighborhood, because it's going to always be someone looking to make some money to sell some kind of drugs in a neighborhood for their pocket. So if you stop the drugs from coming into the country, you can solve a major problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good to me.
It's not the local drug dealer. It's at the top.
Yeah. So to me, I mean, what you just said is kind of, because this has been going on for many, many, many years, the influx of heroin and other drugs, the poppy seeds, into the United States. And it seems that what you just said would be obvious after many, many years. And so there's a reason that they didn't institute that idea that you just talked about.
You know where the biggest poppy field at in the world?
Is in Afghanistan, isn't it? No?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Afghanistan.
Now,
yeah.
you think going to Afghanistan was to hunt down a one man when you got a poppy field over there that make more money than Chrysler, GM, and Ford combined together?
That's right. They make it all. And so those are indications. And so when we look at indications, it's not just about those who are severely addicted or those who
are getting
into recovery. There are indications that we need to look at that things are really have gone awry, and that the profiteers, the people who are making loads and loads of money, the indication of being misdirected. And so that's kind of what you are alluding to, because we've been misdirected. It is in order to get your mind off the real problem, to get your mind off the nucleus of the problem. And I find that here in Jefferson and Berkeley County, where I live, you know, because I have decided that I can be best used as a warrior in this fight against opioid addiction if I kind of constrained myself to the area that I occupy. And so that would be, I live in rural Falling Waters area. And so right there in my community, if I could just circle the wagons around that community, then I can kind of be of help to the bigger picture. And so the misdirection that is going on here, in my opinion, in Berkeley and Jefferson County is being addressed, because I, for one, am calling out the people who would indicate to me that they don't have a clue as to what they're doing. And they are normally some of our biggest policymakers. And you know, I'm glad that I have toes for someone to step on. That's why I wanted to do Recovery Radio, because if I didn't have toes for someone to step on, that means that I'm not being involved, that I have disengaged. And I'm the first to say I stand corrected, and I would invite those who would stand in the correction aisle or the correction column would also submit to being standing corrected. You know, if you're wrong, you're wrong. It's not that you're mean or anything. I should hope not. Or it's not that maybe you're just ignorant to a lot of things and you're not really ready to submit to that. But a good friend of mine, candidate for judge, she said to me, Kimberly Crockett said, you cannot change the facts. You have to deal with them. And that was just so profound to me. To even kind of let that marinate and to wrap my mind around exactly what that is. It's so profound in its very few words, Salim. So we're going to wrap up.
They have to start changing the laws.
Yeah, it's the culture. It's the whole culture that has to change. That's it. Yeah. It's sort of like the healing forest premise. Yeah. The culture has to be changed.
Everybody in the neighborhood has to get involved. Mm-hmm. Want to make a change in their neighborhood and make sure that these drugs don't harm. It don't have to be a black and white thing. It's a neighborhood thing.
It's a neighborhood thing.
It's about the community.
Yeah.
A community is a group of people, not a group of color or black and white. If everybody in the neighborhood has to be a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's your child or not, you have to. I'm telling you, man, I had a problem with a drug deal. He didn't know it, but he used to always, want to get with me when I walked with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I could beat the guy, but I didn't want him to do nothing to my daughter. So what I did when I saw him selling drugs, I went upstairs, called the police in Irvington. And then I told my guy downstairs selling drugs. They said, what he got on? I said, he got on a blue and a white leather coat. By the time I got back downstairs, they had him in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good if he's
and
guilty
all I
of that.
Did
mm-hmm.
is smile.
Yes, sir.
I got rid of that drug dealer out of my neighborhood.
Out of your neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. Congratulations to you, brother. And I think we all need to stand up because the pestilence is killing. And I have grandchildren who are in their tweens right now. I don't want to be having this conversation when my grandchildren have grandchildren. And that seems to be what happened to us, because we started at in our youth. And here we are. Well, you're really old now, and we're still having this conversation. Hey, but Celine, we're gonna end right there, good brother. I'm so thankful that you call in, man. So everything is okay down the way in North Carolina? Are you back in Texas now?
Yeah, everything is okay, man. But for your listening audience, man, the people have to want change. The people need to want change for themselves, want change for their children, and want the drugs out of their neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they want. That's what they need to want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to close with a beautiful song sung by a beautiful young lady. And she's been around a while. She's up and coming. And these are indications of success. This song by Miracle Thomas. I looked it up. It's on Miracle Thomas. Actually, she's a relative of mine. She liked to say she's my cousin, but I look at her more like my niece. But the name of the song is "So You Say you're sorry, or you say you apologize, to say you apologize. And she sings it, as a matter of fact, her.
You must think I'm stupid.
Here we go, Miracle Thomas.
Oh, no.
Hey, Celine.
I deserve better.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, go ahead and listen up, man. Don't hang up yet. I want to say goodbye in good fashion. Miracle Thomas
you
coming at you. Okay, Celine. Yeah, so I will talk to you next week, brother. Thanks for calling in, man, and be safe down there, okay?
Okay, man.
All right.
All right, man.
Okay, you want to say goodbye? Are we done?
Uh-huh, yeah.